Welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's podcast where we give you our take on what's new in marketing, what's cool, what's lame, and why you should care.
Sorry. Do the same thing to my kids. All right, for real this time.
We're recording.
Hello and welcome to Thundercast, ThunderTech's regular podcast. As always, I'm Craig Israel, creator director at ThunderTech. Sorry, I forgot the name of the place that employs me. And I'm here with my regular co-host.
Hi, Eric Krylo from the account services department. This is my second podcast. I'm almost as excited about this one as I was the first.
Yes, aren't we all? All right, so today's topic, we're going to be talking about product placement. So for the one 85-year-old grandma who listens to this who doesn't know what product placement is, product placement is taking a good or service and inserting it into a movie or TV show.
Pepsi.
You like Pepsi, for instance. Like, I'm so thirsty podcasting. This delicious Pepsi really hits the spot. So some product placements are done better than others, and we're going to talk about it in general. And what really sparked this, at least in my mind, is I'm a big fan of The Walking Dead. Eric, I don't know if you watch.
Yes, zombies are one of my favorite things.
Okay, no spoilers, but last week's episode, I saw that coming.
Well, you know, and it's tough. I think, you know, it's easy to say that you saw it coming, but then when it actually happens, you're still stunned. And, you know, it's definitely something I think everyone out there should check out to see if they were as stunned as we were.
I know. It's unbelievable to me that Rick died. Oh, sorry. Spoilers. But Walking Dead, they had a long-running product placement with Hyundai. Hyundai, am I saying that right?
Hyundai is, I think, is what it is.
I think they're out of Michigan. So they have an SUV. So we've seen this car in The Walking Dead from the very beginning. And I think they've done a good job with it. Unlike some product placement, it's a car that they have that they drive around, but they don't make too big a deal about it.
Yeah, and I think one of the keys to product placement, obviously with my example from earlier being poor product placement, but I think that the best types of product placement are those that are intelligently done, and also I don't know if delicate's the word for it, but you know, just something that if you didn't notice it, you wouldn't have noticed it. So right. I think a poor example of of that is what I used earlier, where you just interrupt someone with a product and it's just out of context, completely out of nowhere. And that's, I think, the type of product placement that we're going to speak poorly about today.
Yes, not a fan. So the product placement that stands out in my mind is one of the most ham-handed attempts was, and this is going way back. You'll remember, Eric, Heroes.
Yes.
TV show.
Yep.
I was a huge fan when it first came out, the first version, not this recent reboot thing.
Save the cheerleader, save the cheerleader. World.
Absolutely. So it involved the cheerleader, right? And there was a special episode of Heroes that was sponsored by Nissan. They had a new car out, the Rogue at the time. And part of the plot revolved around Claire, the cheerleader, getting a new car for her birthday, and it happened to be a Nissan Rogue. So not only did they work it into the actual plot, it was also that hour was sponsored by Nissan with limited commercial interruptions, and all the commercials were for the Rogue. But in the middle of it, they give her the keys, and she's like, "Oh my God, the Rogue, awesome!" And it felt so flat because I don't know of any 18-year-old girl who's excited about the Nissan Rogue.
Yeah, and you know, personally, I don't have a lot of experience with 18-year-old females, but if I did, I couldn't imagine them being that excited about a Nissan Rogue. Maybe if it was like a Bentley or a helicopter,
helicopter
or a spaceship. I mean, I could see myself getting excited about that if I was an 18-year-old girl, but not so much the Nissan Rogue.
Agreed. So, like I said before, The Walking Dead, I think they do it well with this Hyundai that it's there. It's always a little cleaner than the other cars on the highway, which is a little unusual, but it's not glaring. From what I've read, that the only limitations they were told when they were using the car in the actual show is they couldn't use it to run over zombies. Which personally, if I was an auto manufacturer, I would say, please use my car to run over as many zombies as possible.
Right. I always thought that that was the goal, is to, you know, kill as many zombies as possible. But maybe the road tests, maybe they didn't test well in the zombie rolling over category.
Yes, the automatic four-wheel traction doesn't work as well over zombies as it does, say, loose gravel.
Yeah, exactly.
So also from what I read, they've just recently canceled their sponsorship of the show only because creatively the show has gone into a direction where if you watch the show, you know they're staying put. They're not moving around as much, and so there's not as many opportunities to use the car. And good on the show runners for not saying, we got to jam in a 10-second montage of this car going down the highway every episode just to keep our sponsorship.
Right, and you know that speaks to, you know, what we talked about earlier, which is the best practice of being intelligent about product placement. So you'd mentioned earlier to me in passing that you had some other examples of product placement done well.
So I actually have a list of the top 10 best product placements in movies. This is by Gizmodo, I think. But here they are. According to the internet, which of course is a completely valid and reliable source, number 10, Nokia in The Matrix.
The Matrix, okay. Blue, red pill. Remember that?
Yes, that not pharmaceutical. Nokia, they make phones.
Oh, gotcha.
So, you know, a lot of phone use in that. That kind of made sense. It seemed very natural and comfortable, not forced. Number 9, Red Ryder BB gun in A Christmas Story.
Which has a lot of ties here with Tremont, the house being in Tremont. So
yeah, The Christmas Story, the one they filmed at, is actually here in Cleveland. I get where they're going with this one. I think it's a bit of a misnomer, right, that this wasn't product placement in the sense that the Red Ryder company came to these movie makers and said, use our BB gun. But it's definitely raised the awareness of the Red Ryder BB gun with the compass in the stock, which as a kid I wanted one as too. Number 8, the Chevy Camaro Transformers. Not the cartoon show, but the actual Michael Bay blowing them up show. I never saw it, but it's one of the cars.
Now, are we talking the Shia LaBeouf Transformers, or are we talking the Mark Wahlberg Transformers?
I believe the first one,
okay.
Right, with the yellow Camaro.
Oh, okay. So Shia was still sober during that period of time.
I've not seen Transformers, much to my chagrin. Number 7, White Castle from Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
It's a fantastic movie, and I think definitely solid product placement in terms of not only the amount of times that they mentioned it, but I think what's even more telling is the experience that goes along with going to White Castle. So even if you don't have an experience like that of Harold and Kumar's, I imagine the bathroom experience after would be just as chaotic.
You know, I got to wonder what White Castle thinks about this movie, right? Because it's all about, again, if you haven't seen it, a couple stoners who get really, really stoned and want to go to White Castle and get hamburgers. So White Castle isn't portrayed in a bad light per se in the movie, right? It's not even in the movie physically until the end when they show up and eat a bunch of hamburgers.
Yeah, it's almost like they treat it as a mecca.
It's a holy grail.
Right. So nothing says holy grail like Neil Patrick Harris.
Yes. Neil Patrick Harris in a role that'll surprise you if you haven't seen the movie.
Very much.
Number 6, Mini Cooper from The Italian Job. Again, I haven't seen this movie, but I understand there's a lot of Mini Coopers driving around fast.
I've never seen it either.
Okay. Enough said on that. Number 5, Wilson Sporting Goods from the movie Castaway. Wilson, of course, is the volleyball that Tom Hanks talks to while he's cast away, as it were, on a deserted island.
Yeah, I'd be interested to know how many lonely folks out there had new best friends after seeing that, and how many of those new best friends could be attributed to Wilson. I wonder if they ever you know, check the numbers after that.
You think there was a spike in sales of because they found a whole new segment for use of their products?
Right, and if there wasn't a spike in sales, I'd imagine at least that there was a spike in number of MySpace users moving Wilson volleyballs to their number one spot in the top five friends. That had to have at least happened.
I'm sure. Number four, BMW or Aston Martin from the James Bond series. Kind of cool, right? James Bond always drives. It was traditionally always an Aston Martin fast car that I will never be able to afford. More recently, driving a BMW, also a car I will never be able to afford.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, obviously I can definitely relate to the extravagance there. But I think what I'm seeing, at least in the items that you've mentioned so far, is a lot of car ad placement can be done really well. And I think obviously in any movie or TV show, there's that element of travel. So you can certainly, you know, there's more opportunities there, I think, to get those in. So it's interesting to see that pattern that's developing here on your list.
Interesting. Number three, Ray-Ban sunglasses / the U.S. Navy for the movie Top Gun. I can see that, and I think I've read that that Navy enrollment actually increased after this movie came out. I'm not sure if people are aware that it's not a documentary.
Well, and I think you're right there. And what's interesting to me is to hear that, because I've never heard about the increase in recruitment, but I don't know how you could watch a volleyball scene with a shirtless Tom Cruise and not feel like that's the spot for you to be.
Yes, you've captured my childhood perfectly. So number two, and actually I was surprised that this was number two on the list and not number one, because it is really the famous textbook case of product placement, and it's Reese's Pieces in E.T. the Extraterrestrial.
So I feel like that's something that everyone has seen. So everyone can relate to the Reese's Pieces product placement. But what I'm curious about is, can everyone relate to how to pronounce Reese's Pieces? Like, I feel like we could do a whole podcast, because you have your Reese PC folks, you have your Reese Peace folks, and it just, we got to figure this out. So we might be able to table that to next podcast, but that's something I'd like to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely. So the lore on this one is that Steven Spielberg approached M&M's and wanted to use M&M's, but they said no. So he went with Reese's Pieces, which I always assumed I was pronouncing correctly, but now you've driven me to question myself. Big mistake on the part of M&M's.
And, you know, it's a shame M&M never recovered after that.
No, I mean, where can you find M&M's anymore? eBay.
Right.
Nowhere else.
Yep. Or Amazon, and, right next to the sugar-free gummy bears.
The number one on the spot, the DeLorean from Back to the Future. So I guess I can see this. It's legit. It was all about the time machine, happened to be DeLorean. It talked about some of its characteristics, namely the stainless steel body as part of the construction of it. I guess it was interesting enough that they stretched it over three movies of decreasing quality.
And that's actually a really interesting one also. It's quite the list you put together there. But what I find curious about the DeLorean is that was one of those situations where if you weren't paying attention to the dialogue, you may have never heard that name. You know, DeLorean doesn't have the recognizable, you know, logo on the grill like a Ford does or like a Chevy does. So I think for that to be the number one example is really interesting to me. Now, I have a bit of a qualm with your list, Craig, and I'm hoping that you're going to be able to have an open mind to this. But 1992 was the year, and the movie was Wayne's World.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember?
I'm familiar, yes.
Now,
Wayne's World, the first one.
Correct.
The sequel.
Correct. Okay. So this was the scene where a very, very young Rob Lowe approaches the cast, if you will. So Wayne and Garth and some of the flunkies that helped produce the show. And they talked about the sponsor having a segment on the show. And they really went into this sort of montage of blatant product placement. But they did so in a way that, in my mind, made it funny and made it tolerable. And I'm not sure if you remember, but
I do remember that.
One of my two favorites from that is Mike Myers holds his hand out and he says, "Nuprin, little, yellow, different."
Their tagline at the time,
exactly.
Right?
And then that segues into, I believe, Garth in full Reebok warm-up gear, just laying back, talking about why they won't bow down to sponsors. And I just think it was great. I think it was a way to get some value from not only a sponsorship standpoint, but do it in a way that's so obnoxious that you can't find it you can find it funny.
So you got to wonder if any of those sponsors actually paid for those spots, or if it was just done out of humor.
And that would be the interesting thing. Maybe that's something I'll look at on the all-knowing interwebs. Hey there. Just wanted to take a minute out of today's podcast to let our listeners know that our 2016 Trends book is out now. In it, we discuss a variety of topics related to the marketing and advertising industries that we think are going to be a big deal in 2016. Topics include content marketing, disciplined web iteration, flat 2.0 design, and the comeback that email advertising is making now that mobile, automation, and data play a bigger role. Check out our Trends book today for free by downloading at trends.thundertech.com.
All right, so we've listed out a bunch of interesting product placements that we've seen in TV and movies. So the question is, why do we care, right? As marketers, it's funny to see when product placements are awkwardly shoehorned into movies or TV shows. But what would we recommend to our clients who are interested in pursuing something like this?
Yeah, and I think that comes down to industry. I think that's the place where you'd start is what industries make sense, for product placement, and what industries don't really lend themselves to that. And I think as we mentioned before, there were a lot of car examples here that worked really well. And so obviously automotive, I think, is an industry that lends itself really mm-hmm. well to product placement, whether it be television, television or film. I think automotive for sure. And I think the other sort of industry would be the food industry and food service in general. I think that's another easy one to kind of plug in. But off the top of your head, Craig, what industries do you think lend themselves well to product placement?
So I think electronics, in addition to what you've said, any sort of electronic gizmo that the hero in the show might be interacting with. Food service, like you said, automotive. Yeah, off the top of my head, those seem like really strong candidates. Now, that of course, depends on the plot, right? So if the plot of your TV show is that your car breaks down and strands you in the middle of the desert, well, maybe not a show that you want your brand associated with, but something like The Italian Job, where they're driving these Mini Coopers around and they're awesome and small and maneuverable. That's great. A show where you can turn your car into a time machine, like the DeLorean. That's probably great. Nokia did in The Matrix, right? There's some handheld electronic gadget that is used, in a very positive way. So I guess it's the product placement really hinges on not only the industry but how it's portrayed. Obviously, you only want your product involved in a above board, professional manner.
So, in trying to play maybe not so much devil's advocate here, but just the other side of the coin, when do you feel like product placement doesn't work from an industry perspective? And, off the top of my head, I think the medical field, it'd be really difficult, I think, to put, prescription drugs in the context of a movie or a television show. Obviously, not only are the names difficult, but I think it would be really difficult to try and express the benefits of something mm-hmm. without also listing the downsides as well. I'm sure everyone has seen those fun medical commercials where the visuals are all happy and bright, but the voiceover is talking about nausea, vomiting, driving your car while you're not awake, or
suicidal thoughts.
Correct.
Yeah, I think you're right. Anything that would have a lengthy disclaimer to it is just not going to work, right? And some pharmaceuticals is a great example, because I don't know if you could have a brand name pharmaceutical in a movie and then it has some marvelous effect on the patient without the lawyers visually shuddering on the sidelines when they have to think about all the paperwork they're going to have to file to cover their butts about, you know, about the actual effects.
Yeah, and you know, and with all of the, you know, the substitutes and things like that that exist for different medicines and different prescription drugs, I think it would be difficult there too to really pinpoint one specific one that you were trying to get out to the audience. So using the Bradley Cooper movie Limitless, yeah, as an example, you know, I don't think that the makers of Adderall are scrambling to try and get their name on a drug like that, because there obviously there are far more downsides to things like that, mm-hmm, that Bradley didn't tell us about. Bradley, you're a liar.
So from a very high level standpoint, I think the product placement's an interesting evolution of advertising. As we see that more and more, it becomes easier and easier to blow through commercials on, you know, you can DVR something and skip through them. You can, you know, fast forward through them on the internet. So it's becoming harder for traditional commercials to connect with people. So this is something that we've talked about, that one of the techniques that it seems like TV show runners are doing now, or networks are doing, I should say, is they put a little snippet of the show kind of in between the commercial block, so that when you're fast forwarding through it, you are like, oh, the show's back on, and you stop, you know, you're fast forward, and then you find out it's just a kind of a random piece of content meant, in my mind, to do nothing but make you stop fast-forwarding.
Yeah, you know, I see that a lot in more of the reality television that exists out there. And normally, not only does it frustrate me, you know, as a watcher, because I think that the show is back on, but normally that little snippet is of a scene that has already happened, and it's really just two of the characters either elaborating on that further, or in even some cases, actually hawking a product. And I think that that is a little bit a little bit deceptive on the showrunner's part, but it's one of those things that I can totally understand and see the value in, especially in the age of DVR that we live.
Yeah, I respect them trying to come up with techniques to get me to stop and actually watch their commercials, but it's not like when I press play and I realize that it's not actually the show, I say, oh, okay, you got me. I guess I'll sit through another, you know, 90 seconds of commercials before the show starts again. But what's interesting is that it makes me wonder if this is the direction that advertising is going, that if we can't force people to sit through commercials, do we find other ways to get our brands in front of them, like product placement, like sponsorship? And it really makes me wonder if we're seeing the pendulum swing way back to the early days of radio and TV, where there was a single sponsor that sponsored the entire show, right? There was, you know, Hallmark Theater and other brands that they had their name all over it. And you would even have, you know, cigarette companies were big into this back in the day, the early days of TV, where the guests and the host would actually, you know, hey, can I offer you a Chesterfield before you sit down and start the interview? So I don't think we're going to see that. But I'd be really curious to see if that's the way the industry's going, back to full-up, straight-on, sponsored content from a single brand.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to your point, and you make a lot of excellent points, and it's certainly something I'm going to be eager to see over the next couple years. And I also wonder what it will do to the audience's tolerance for stuff like that. So rather than, you know, 7-8 commercials every commercial break, instead you have this, you know, minute and a half to 2 minute long commercial about one specific sponsor. And then it's obviously shared throughout the presentation of the show. That sponsor is highlighted as well. And I think, again, it'll come down to not only what the audience's tolerance is when it comes to things like that, but also the creativity of the show and the sponsor itself.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, that's it. So that's Thundercast for this time. As always, if you enjoy what you hear, you can subscribe to us via Stitcher or iTunes or wherever fine podcasts are sold. To make it easier than ever for you to listen to your podcast, we have a location on our website. You can go to thundertech.com/podcast, and all our past episodes are there, plus the newest. You never have to go without again. If you enjoy what you hear, the number one thing you can do to help us is tell your friends. We could use more subscribers, because who couldn't use more subscribers? If you have a question or a topic you'd like to hear covered on podcasts, you can always reach out to us at thundercast@thundertech.com or Facebook or Twitter or Instagram or Tinder. I think we're on all of those things.
Yes, always swipe right.
All right, until next time, thanks for listening.